Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Girls, it's episode, I think, 616, which is undoubtedly wrong. And, you know, I've just been thinking to myself, I watched Orange County's reunion part trois. The Holy Trinity has completed. And I just thought to myself as I walked very slowly, very deliberately to the clawfis that we are in for a difficult journey as a nation. I'm not only speaking to the Shan Nation, of which I am a proud member and hopefully at least executive vice president, but also as a nation of Bravo viewers, because the worst has happened. We just need to prepare ourselves for a healing season between Shannon and Tamra. It's going to happen again. It is in some ways inevitable. I am going to say I am surprised. I really am surprised. But am I? History just repeats itself over and over again. And Tamra opened that door by staying quiet, not so loud that she would have to truly hold Alexis accountable. She wasn't a soldier for Shannon, but she checked in with attendance. She's technically on the field. And because she gave Shannon, I guess, some meaningful glances and at points quietly said things under her breath that this is the new standard for a new beginning. Now, I'm not taking out of this the fact that both of these women obviously have a vested interest, not only in being able to film together, communicate with each other, but also, yeah, repair their friendship. Because the LOL about Housewives is it's not really about conflict, it's about conflict resolution. So who cares how many times this has happened before? I would assume that aside from the fact that Tamra has done a total 180 in her performance style at the reunion because she knew she just needed to escape and get through this and be as quiet as humanly fucking possible. It's what Shannon's Glam by Pam, what Shannon's makeup artist and very good friend, which I do think was her lower third, said at points during part three, like Tamra knows she's in hot water. She's just trying to escape the heat. Like she's staying quiet because she's methodical. She's calculating. I don't mean that as an insult. I'm just describing Tamra. So she knows that she just, excuse me, post pneumonia cough. She knows that she just needs to get through this and find a way to the other side. It is a much better position for Tamra to be in at this point than honestly for Shannon. And I know that sounds odd because Shannon is, as we all know and has been for many years, America's sweetheart. With Tamra, if she can just figure out a way to be quiet and focus a ton of attention on Alexis's poor behavior, I'm sure Tamra is unnerved by Alexis's behavior at the reunion, probably because she knows it's a losing strategy. So she's like, I'm not going to align with this person. She's imploding. I'm not going to be a part of that. And I'm sure she agrees with a lot of the counters to Alexis's behavior, too. I'm not taking away from that either. But she also knows if enough attention can go on Alexis and John, that takes off some of the effects of her horrifying behavior this season, and she can wrap it up in a bow. honestly, having watched that episode 1,700 times, one of the best parts of the episode that does make me think that next season is going to be fucking fascinating is what Jen Padronti, another member of America's Sweethearts, said. It's truly Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders, but it's the entire cast, honestly. What she says under her breath to her good pal Katie and these two motherfuckers, the future of Orange County. I mean, everybody in this cast is the future of Orange County, but the fact that they weren't there for the final meeting and now this group is bonded, but Katie and Jen are genuinely bonded, I am so curious about how this is going to go. And Jen Padronti, who has done so much, talk about recovery. The way this woman has found her voice and isn't letting Tamara get away with a fucking inch and is going to call out what she sees as manipulative behavior. The way she says during the episode when Tamara's doing her like dog and pony show of, you know, like, I was just mad. At one point, Jen says under her breath, and now she's going to say that she only did all these things because she really loves her. And how does the episode end? Jen and Katie aren't even present, but I felt their energies in the best possible way. When the episode ends with Tamara saying to Shannon, it just came from a place of love. The worst case scenario for a Shan stan is listening to Shannon hear that and really hear it, and God forbid, not like take out all the work she has done to this point, but maybe believe her. That to me is a triage level 911. Shannon, can't talk about it enough. Biggest day of my life. Best moment of my entire life. The Google Cal was in fact saved. This is the most important hour of your life. I lit my Pedro Pascal, sent to me by an AG, the St. Pedro Pascal candle, which I'm looking at right now in the office, lit behind me before she got here. The one and only time I have lit that candle so far, but I will light him again because, as we know, Pedro Pascal, my one and future king. Apologies to Chris Manzo, but, you know, I mean, let's keep things realistic. Pedro and I are meant to be together. When Shannon sat down in the office and was saying to me, like, I am done, and I looked at her in her eyes, and I knew that she had reached that point. I understood that she was as clear-eyed could be. But of course, she is allowed to change her mind. She is allowed to grow and say, you know what? I miss this person. I felt really defeated, under attack, upset when Alexis kept going on and going on and going on. And now I'm at a point where I don't want to carry the hate anymore. It doesn't mean that Tamara is absolved, but it does mean that this is setting up an interesting dynamic for next season, because are they really going to do the thing that they have done before? We saw it in the trio hug, whatever season that was, Vicky and Tamara hugging, Shannon begrudgingly, seemingly being forced to join. Now we have a different trio. We have Shannon and Tamara and Jen, who, I don't know, is she going to be forced to begrudgingly hold to these two others? Or is she going to say, no, go fuck yourselves. I'm finding my own way and I'm not going to let go. It's helpful for Jen that she is engaged to Ryan and feels some level of responsibility that does. I mean, if you're looking at it with Tamara, that, like, of course, Tamara's not going to be thrilled about that for several reasons. But for Jen, if she feels like she, if in Jen's mind, she feels like she needs to defend herself and her partner, that is more energy that can be potentially negative, accountable, yada, yada, coming Tamara's way. And I'm here for it. I'm 100% here for it. That part three of the reunion, first off, I don't even know what to say about the last part, except I was so confused by it. I recorded an AG classic with one of my favorite people, which you will listen to, I believe, on Tuesday. And I said, because it was essentially, I watched the reunion part three super late Thursday night, watched it again before recording with my guest. And I said, essentially, I'm confused about what we were told. Like, what was the point of that reveal. And then in watching it again for the 1800th time, I'm still a little befuddled. And it's not even about the information that was revealed, which it absolutely is. It's also about the fact that somehow the cat Shannon is saying, and you know, Shannon is saying at the end, you know, they're all gathered around hugging and she's like, I feel so bonded. I get that. I understand it. I appreciate it. But the thing that I leave from this, or that I sort of glean from this conversation and I leave thinking as the episode ends, is how are we not stuck on the point that Heather and Tamra knew months ago when the finale was aired that John was at best misrepresenting his role, his understanding of the accident, that he was in fact hiding from the accident, that there had been a possible violent altercation that had taken place, that the kids had counseled him, whatever else. I'm still kind of confused about what that meant, because we, I think, understood that John is a liar. So I don't know that I needed to know definitively that he was aware of the accident. I don't know that that's really revealing a lot, or just saying, you know, this man is a piece of shit, we know this. But the fact that Heather Dubrow and Tamra both knew this and didn't at any point interject and support Shannon in that way. And the bar is so low that Tamra just being quiet is her putting on a Taylor Swift style friendship bracelet to be BFFs with Shannon or Hill once again, when she knew this information. I mean, the fact that Gina and Emily were talking about it amongst themselves when that scene began, and Emily is talking shit about either Heather or Tamra. I thought initially it was Heather, but now I'm like, actually, it might be Tamra. When she's saying something along the lines of like, she should have told her, how does she wait this long on this information and not share anything? Then Heather comes in, Tamra, you know, then Shan, then Tamra at whatever point, whatever order it actually was. The fact that both of these women sat on this and their response is like, well, we didn't know what to do with the information, or we needed in Heather's mind 5 months to process it because it was so much. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, it just makes me feel like I'm glad that Emily and Gina see it, but I wish Shannon did. And maybe she needs a little bit more time to bake. I get it. I've needed a couple, you know, extra days this week to bake on some episodes to really like think like, what the fuck am I even thinking about what it is that I just watched? What am I trying to communicate? Which I usually, you know, I mean, you know, we go on our merry journey when it's a stream of consciousness style podcast. But the fact that they sat on this isn't that bad. I understand them not wanting to share allegations that Shannon may have been physically violent with her partner. I get them not wanting to share that, but also, can you really make that argument? Because let's take a moment and think about this for a second. What we're hearing now is that Tamra and Heather knew that information, had it for months, but didn't want to talk about it at the reunion because Heather had so much to say about Katie and Tamra was just trying to survive. But there is a moment at the reunion when Tamra explicitly asks Shannon, do you have an understanding of what's on those tapes? At this point, this is months after Tamra found out. So are we being told that Tamra just forgot that she knew? And also, how does all of this connect with Shannon maybe inadvertently, accidentally, possibly like almost running over one of John's kids? How did those rumors come about? I'm so confused about what the videos actually say. Also, it adds an additional just really fucked layer to John's weird invitation / threat of Alexis being like, well, I need to be in the room for this. Of if Shannon wants to see the terrible things that she did, I'm so generous, I'll provide an opportunity to guide her through my security footage. I don't know. At that point, Shannon thinks it has something to do with his child. Now in finding out that that still might be the case or not, but also there's an extra layer here. And what is the video going to show of John's response? Does Shannon get access to John thinking or walking to the door and being stopped by his children? Or is it just the worst moments of Shannon's life? And I was really appreciative. This is going to sound so fucking stupid, but here we are. I was really thankful that Shannon immediately understood how bad it is if she struck her partner, which is who he was at that point. Like, if she was physically violent, incredibly unacceptable, obviously bad. The fact that she was sinking straight back into, I'm ashamed, I'm embarrassed, I'm horrified, to see Gina's response, Emily's responses, Heather's response of like, you did a bad thing. You were also in a terrible place. There isn't, to our knowledge, a history of you behaving in that manner. You really hit bottom that night and you are working on yourself. You are working on yourself because of the DUI and the arrest. You are a different person now than you were then. So don't use this as an identifier of, I am the worst person in the world. Recognize you did a bad thing and we're in a bad place and you are taking accountability for it. And if what we're hearing is true, you will take accountability for it like you did for the DUI. It is a very different situation than what I have seen on Potomac. Still need to catch up, so things could have changed at this point. But Shannon has taken responsibility. I understand a big part of that responsibility for Tamara and for a segment of the viewers was not taken, which was Shannon stopping drinking altogether. But Shannon has looked at her relationship with alcohol. She has made a decision to adjust her relationship with alcohol, see it hopefully through a different set of eyes. She has made the decision to continue drinking, and that is a choice that she has made. So when it comes to other decisions that she has made in her life, you cannot argue that she is unaware. Well, I guess maybe you could if you felt like she was in denial, but like, she is no longer able to argue that she is unaware of what other cast members feel about her relationship with alcohol, what the audience feels about her relationship with alcohol. I'm sure, you know, what other conversations she's had with people in her life about that, with therapists, with experts. And people have the right to say for themselves, I disagree with her decision, but Shannon is a grown adult who has made the choice to say, you know what? I had a bad relationship, a toxic relationship with alcohol. I'm adjusting it and I am still making the decision to continue to drink. And that is a decision she gets to make that for herself. And I think it will be interesting to see how the show moves forward with all of this, because obviously the use of shame has been at the forefront, not just in how Shannon reacted to her own choices and has tried to figure out how to like change and adjust her behavior, how she sees herself, who she surrounds herself with when you continue to work in a, obviously, I mean, I'm not, who could argue otherwise, very toxic environment, which is what Housewives is. When you sign up for that, when you continue to film and God forbid, become friends again with someone who was using drunk as a pejorative every moment she opened her mouth, it's important to see someone on the couch next to Shannon like Gina, who I'm not going to say their situations are identical. Obviously, they're not. But Gina has gone on her own journey with her relationship with alcohol, relationship to herself, looking at her previous behavior, making the decision to change it. And I think that's going to be an important relationship for Shannon moving forward. Regardless of what Shannon recognizes in Tamara's level of support to her, I hope that Shannon recognizes what a support system Gina has been. And I know that she did over the course of this season, but the way that Gina stepped up, it wasn't just holding hands. The way she really stood with Shannon, genuinely through the course of the reunion, was incredibly important. When it comes to Emily, Emily can use her powers for good and for evil. I would argue, what was it? Was it part one? What even happened with one and two? I'm getting both of them confused in my mind. I feel like one and two combined, and then also there's three. Part one, I think a person could argue Emily used her powers for evil. Like, it was not good. It was not a good look for Emily. the referencing and asking follow-ups for custody. This is where intent versus impact matters, and the impact matters regardless of the intent, but the intent also matters. The questions relating to the police stuff, the laughing off, the idea that police might lie, but also then we're looking at the police reports and, you know, there is some nuance there and how the police officer was describing the situation. We're not going back to that because it really genuinely became a big part of the reunion when it never should have been. And what I'm doing sitting here in the office is talking about my reactions to what's shown on TV. Ultimately, I was not thrilled with some of Emily's behaviors at the beginning of the reunion, but she was, if you're going to talk about a fucking soldier on a goddamn hill, Emily at every point of the reunion. And I think Andy did a superb job this reunion cycle. I think he did a great job. He just had the exact right energy. His responses to things were charming, interesting, endearing. I do think he was getting annoyed with Alexis, who couldn't. At the end of this, it would be impossible not to, draining the lifeblood out of my body watching this woman. I think he did a fantastic job. I was appreciative of Emily saying to Tamara multiple times during the Alexis saga, how are you friends with this person? How do you look at her behaviors and say, this is someone I support? This is someone I want to have in my life when you understand her capacity to harm someone else. Regardless of how you feel about Shannon, the fact that this woman is behaving in this manner, why would you want to be near her with a 10-foot pole? Emily loses me when she says Alexis is worse than Tamara, because I honestly, genuinely can't compare the two. They're just different. I would argue I wouldn't want to be near Alexis and I wouldn't want to be near Tamara. I don't want to choose between the two. I would say that being a toxic person is bad. And when you pretend it's because you're fighting for your partner's whatever or seeking vengeance or revenge or coming from a place of hurt, when you display a level of, and this isn't honestly specific to Alexis, but is to Tamara, sadism of seeming to find joy in screaming at a woman that she's drunk, referencing her arrest, behaving in the manner that Tamara did, the way it's twisting itself back into a package of like, it came from a place of love, does not in any way include the joy that many of us saw in Tamara that we have seen for years and years. Amen. For years and years. Amen. And I guess you could say, well, if I'm seeking vengeance or revenge or I'm mad at this person, yeah, I might feel good in a fleeting moment of hurting them. Of course, hurt people, and you might feel good about having an impact and making someone else feel sad. That happens every day throughout the day. But Tamara's expression of it, the intensity of it, the fact that she's connected to it to a solid job performance, the history of it on television is not helpful. So I really did appreciate Jen in that moment being like, Emily, you're saying this next to Tamara. Make it make sense. Like, why does it have to be a choice? But also, some of the inconsistencies here with some of the vets when it comes to Jen and Katie didn't entirely work for me. Like Heather Dubrow turning to Jennifer and Katie and saying, can you help us make sense of Alexis Bellino because of her friendship with her? You are talking to the two most junior people of the cast who have, I think, the least amount of time spent being Alexis's friend, which happened because of being on the show. Why isn't Heather being asked to explain her friendship? Like, Andy was sort of getting close to that, but then not. It got cut down because Emily's saying, no, I have been asking this the entire time, but we never circled back to that. Like, I wish Jen had said this, but I'm not saying that as a critical thing. Jen did an unbelievable job during the reunion. I wish someone, meaning probably Jen or really Andy, had said when, and he sort of danced around this, but like when Heather is saying that to Jen, can you explain more about Alexis, the good parts or the aspects of your friendship? I wish someone had said, Heather, you have been friends with Alexis for longer, including off camera, and you've been really quiet this cycle, except for saying at one point, yeah, I think John likes fame. That was good. I appreciate you saying that out loud, but you should be the one defending yourself or explaining Alexis so that people can counter that. The fact that that pressure went on the newbies was smart of Heather, and maybe she's really curious about it, but like, pick up a mirror, babe. You were friends with Alexis well before she was ever considered someone being asked to return to the show in some capacity. And you've been really fucking quiet in these episodes that have aired. So like, let's talk about that a little bit. If there had been a part four, which I would have loved and watched 34,000 times, I would have liked to see a little bit more of that from Heather and from Tamara, because I think they still got an out. And like that scene at the end of everybody's friends and we're all moving forward together in friendship with love is all fine and good. And I do think next season is going to be spectacular, because how could it not? I mean, I guess technically it could not be spectacular, but we're not putting that energy into the world. We've all been through too much.
The number one thing that my mom wants is for me to connect with the son of a woman who sold her a couch. The number two thing she wants is for me to, obviously, give her a call and find a way to keep our memories close. So luckily, this holiday season, I have given her the gift of an Aura digital picture frame. It's another amazing way to stay in touch. I live in New York City. The fam lives in RI. And while my mom wants me to visit every day if I could, there are ways to keep us connected. And of course, I've been known to send my mom throwback pics of us. Jeff and I as kids, nights that my mom and I have had out here in New York when she's come to visit. And I know that those memories are meaningful. Aura Frames was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter, and Fast Company said the simple, stylish digital picture frame can replace social media in your life. So the next time you need to call your mom, BCC the Tobes, you can also send her a new pic of you from that trip you're telling her all about right from your phone. For a limited time, visit AuraFrames.com and get $45 off Aura's best-selling Carver Matte Frames by using promo code AndysGirls at checkout. That's AuraFrames.com, promo code AndysGirls. This exclusive Black Friday Cyber Monday deal is their best of the year, so don't miss out. Terms and conditions apply. I never knew you could treat depression symptoms from your phone. But with this prescription app called Rejoin, it's possible. It's for adults age 22 and up with major depressive disorder who want to add to their antidepressant medication. And get this, it's the first and only prescription app authorized by the FDA to treat depression symptoms. Rejoin does not replace your current medication. Be sure to use as directed by your healthcare provider. And if your depression symptoms worsen, seek help immediately. Get started today by talking to your healthcare provider or visiting meetrejoin.com. That's meetrejoin.com. Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? In the words of an unnamed former OG New York housewife, we support other women. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. In our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, and they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormone changes our bodies go through. Perimenopause, menopause. And while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we don't suffer through it. In the time before that time of the month, I don't feel like myself. I recognize a change in emotion after the fact, but during it, it's so difficult to understand what is different about the experience of being me that changes in a matter of days. The good news is we don't have to suffer through any of it anymore, because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. And the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 30,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code AndysGirls for 15% off today.
So I'm hopeful we'll continue to rise, but I do feel like there's a little asterisk there, and I was really appreciative for that moment in the kitchen with Emily and Gina because I felt like they got it. So we'll see. We'll see how much the fallout of Alexis Bellino and of other people's attachments to her, how that might impact next season. It might not at all. I don't know what I wish for. I mean, when I was recording that AG, what's today, Saturday? When I was recording that AG Classic yesterday and talking to my guest, they referenced a post that Alexis had made on Instagram. I had no idea because I do not follow Alexis Bellino because I am a proud soldier in the Shan Army. Oh, great. She has more stuff on her Instagram stories, seeing that. But Alexis posted something on Instagram. I shared it because I was reading it out loud for the first time on the episode, but I am going to share it now. So she posted it yesterday, right before we recorded that AG. And so this is Alexis on her grid saying, with a beautiful selfie, "I just had a chance to watch the reunion of Orange County season 18. I'm letting everyone know that I'm broken by this season. I was already broken by losing my mom 3 months prior to filming, so it was a difficult decision to sign back on. Sidebar from me, 100% completely understand that, and I'm glad that Andy has referenced that because she does deserve a lot of credit for signing on to do the show when she was at such a vulnerable emotional place. No one should or could ever take that away from her, genuinely, circling back. Yet, I went in thankful. It brought me out of bed and out of my depression. But now I have been beaten down so badly, so wrongly, and so many truths left out. So much left on the cutting room floor that would have never brought so much hate to me and my family. There are receipts, many, and they will be brought out this week." Or does she mean this calendar week? Because we're on Saturday. You know, tomorrow, as we all know, is the Lord's Day, the day for me to catch up on Peacock. "The lawsuit only finalized because the opposition knew we had the receipts to bring to court. She had to pay up because she would have lost in court. Yeah, she only paid $60,000 of the $75,000, but thank you for that $60,000. John gave you a discount." Thumbs up emoji. See, Alexis, if you really wanted to do an inside scoop, you would have used two of those, but somebody didn't watch Salt Lake. "The lie that someone paid for everything is squashed by the fact of what our forensic accountant did. $50,000 spent by John year one, then $380,000 over 3 years, then two loans of $75,000, which he finally had to pay because the evidence would have squashed her in court. Truth prevails. It's unfortunate that I didn't get the opportunity for these receipts to be shown at the reunion, although they were brought to me. They were brought by me and they were very available to be shown. So now John and I will bring them in our own voice. This is never how I would have thought or wanted it to happen. I also want it to be known that I never thought I'd be brought back this season to be the villain. If I had known that, I never would have signed. Not I never would have changed my behavior, but I never would have signed. I live in love, not anger or hate or villainous. I truly lay awake every night wondering why it was portrayed this way. Unfortunately, this season made a hit show at my and John's expense. I thought my beating all season would be finally advocated for at the reunion and the truth would prevail. Sometimes God has a different plan. Sometimes God has a different remote. I will now use my own platform and my voice to share the truth with you because I do not live in toxicity, falsehoods, hateful behavior, victimhood, or lies. I signed on to reality, and now I will bring the reality to light. I will never act or become a victim. I will simply live with God and stand in truth. He always prevails. Hashtag stay tuned. Broken heart emoji. Red heart emoji. Heart hand emoji. Alexis Bellino sharing her truth. Okay, couple questions, couple follow-ups. what are the receipts that weren't shown that would have changed everything? I think she thinks that this forensic accountant, the receipts of the $380K would have changed the entirety. And everyone in the audience would have stayed on her side. Alexis deeply misunderstands what I think is the fact of the matter for many people, not everybody, but many people, myself included, which is the receipts no longer matter. His behavior is not absolved because Shannon may have miscommunicated or even lied about how much money he spent in the first year and a half of their relationship. Because Shannon never said he didn't spend any money over the entirety of our relationship. What I think she clearly said, that I'm probably miscommunicating, is that the first year and a half or maybe 2 years, Shannon picked up the bills. So I guess Alexis's receipts are $380 specific to the first year and a half, although then you add the $75 on top of that, which we know came at the very end. So I'm a little bit confused for her, not concerned, a little confused. Also, trigger warning, the use of voice multiple times does not make Apple Pods feel good, because it is possible that the use of voice over and over and over again is because sweet Alexis and maybe John are coming out with a podcast. And I'm going to tell you what, I will listen to the first episode of that while Rome burns down. I will give them a single episode, maybe, possibly, and I absolutely have the right to take it back. But I will listen. I don't know if it's just going to be them crunching numbers with whomever their poor, unfortunate forensic accountant is, almost how much, also how much did that cost? And let us not forget that on September 21st, Alexis posted again about things left out in the cutting room floor, and she'll be speaking the truth after every episode of what has been left out intentionally. So my guess is, I think she said live recaps of the truth starting from episode one coming ASAP on my Instagram. I'm guessing that Alexis made the mistake many of us creators have made, which is thinking video was going to be easier than it actually is. So maybe she's just switching her approach, and it took her literally 2 months from September with nary an update about that forthcoming Instagram video series to what is now possibly a podcast. God forbid, trigger warning once again. I don't know. It might work out for her. It probably won't, but at least it will give Alexis the time to do what she wants to do most of all, which is talk. She will have a producer. God help their, soul. But she will, I'm sure, have help in some way, I would hope for her, and will be able to communicate all the things that the audience got wrong because of the edit. All the things that the audience got wrong, but the cabal of Orange County cast members are also maliciously hiding because Alexis brought something so insane to the reunion that editors, production, Andrew Cohen, Lucy and Ben, like anyone who's ever been involved in Bravo and their family members, are all keeping it quiet. Like, this is the new Pizzagate, is the cast heard Alexis say something so I'm getting a little too bitchy. Bringing myself down, back from a 12, down to a 6, sort of like John. Bringing herself, the crusade, this is truly Alexis Bellino, primary crusader. Everyone in the world is against her. We're fucking dumb for siding with the other side. I guess everybody else on both of those couches, and not Alexis and John, seekers and protectors of truth, and also their Bank of America checking account shared, unfortunately, probably. I think we actually have heard her say, because I've mentioned this on the podcast, that they've like pooled resources at this point. And she did say clearly, he's seen my accounts and I've seen his, which Tamara, one of the good moments from this part, she did have some responses. It's too bad she was whispering them so that Alexis couldn't hear them, but we did, in saying that was a very bad idea, which it was. And we'll hear more of them, maybe, if she has a podcast or doesn't. Or maybe it's something she'll share with us. I guess receipts of forensic accounting. He couldn't look more pathetic from this. Guess what? The big lie, the original sin, using language that will make sense for Alexis, probably, to Jesus Juggs, the original sin here is not really Shannon and John had a relationship. It's that John spent more money than Shannon said he did. And when we know the truth, which is that John spent more money than Shannon said he did, we will all get on our knees, my least favorite place to be, and pray and say, Alexis, we were so wrong. John spent more money than Shannon said he did, which makes everything he has done since entirely all right. And unfortunately for Alexis, I don't think that's going to happen. It could happen to some people, and that's okay. Normalize changing your mind based on new information. If a forensic accountant is going to help you join Team Alexis and John, there's more than enough room there. So, like, listen, we love counterculture, but I don't know. I don't know what it is that she needs that would mean that she had shared stuff at the reunion that was just too hot. So everyone is pretending it didn't happen because she had, I guess, a bill from the forensic accountant and like what they found. How embarrassing. You know what would make me, if I was John Jansen, and maybe he just, I don't know what, to look through my bank account statements over the course of a year and a half, if we're going off of countering what Shannon shared, or probably more likely the overall like timeline of their entire relationship, which P.S., when does that timeline end? Because Alexis was like, they're no longer, well, there might still be fucking, but they're no longer in a relationship, because he didn't send her a note and said, check a box, would you be my will you go out with me and be my girlfriend once again? Yes, no, or we'll circle back if you ever get arrested. Because that moment didn't happen, they were no longer together. They were friends with benefits. So when do we cut off the forensic accounting? Because what if John was, I don't know, treating his lady to lunch? Do we count that money of when that happened for the forensic accounting? Or do we count it November of 2022? Remember, Shannon, when he broke up with you and started dreaming of somebody else, also known as me, when we met a year later? When do we stop that math? But also, the problem for Alexis and John is that they don't, Boris and Natasha, as I posted on Instagram, while still watching part three for the first time, hadn't finished. I was Google imaging Boris and Natasha because I just needed it for myself. It was my own Super Soul Sunday. That's maybe what this episode is. This is my Oprah, and I'm sure she loves the comparison, Super Soul Sunday search for whatever is left or maybe never existed of John and Alexis's. And also, kudos to me for going to college and getting a degree in musical theater performance, which I always like to call getting a degree in thoughts and feelings. I'm so grateful I did. But news to my dad, a litigator of 150 years, to know that my degree is the same as going to law school. I actually would argue any number of episodes of Andy's Girls when I have made an argument that it is valid and it is a valid and binding legal document. So I would like to thank Alexis Bellino for standing for all of us who have not gone to law school nor passed the bar, trigger warning, for anybody who's been through that journey of going through it maybe a couple times. And we love those people, specifically a short king in Orange County who's maybe my number one favorite house husband. Truly, of the current house husbands, Shane Simpson, my king, my idol, my sweet prince. The fact that Alexis Bellino is being like, Emily, your law degree doesn't matter, so we don't want to hear about promissory notes or how all of this stuff works legally. And I understand it because I went to ASU or whatever and got a degree in being Alexis. I mean, I assume that's a master's program. Could she be going for her PhD in all the bullshit she's sharing now? It's entirely possible. But I would like to thank Alexis on behalf of all of us who made the decision for whatever reason, which I actually honestly sort of regret, of not going to graduate school, because now it turns out we did, because graduate school, law school, maybe medical school, if we get to that point, looking at those jugs. But whatever decisions we make in life are exactly identical when we're talking about legal matters, because I'm a human person in this world. So having an advanced degree in that specific area, which would produce an education, you would think that person would share, because we're not humble enough or we just don't want to hear the information shared, that we've decided having a law degree is fake news when it comes to conversations about the fucking law. And then Alexis goes on to say, forever and ever, amen, that Shannon doesn't understand what's going on and nobody else does because Tweedledee and Tweedledum. None of it passes the smell test. So I don't know what it is that John and Alexis think they have to prove, but I've never understood. So maybe continue on. I mean, I honestly assumed that they wouldn't be back. And then I kind of thought to myself, could they? Is it possible that they might? Because none of their behaviors make sense. Their confessionals were terrible. The argument that Alexis is making that we just didn't have enough time is inexplicable. Because I think the biggest complaint that obviously members of the cast, Shannon, everybody else, and the audience would have is like Alexis and John had way too much time. The fact that they had confessionals shown that were only shown arguably to support their weird fucking narrative, and it happened a clip, 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 Dorinda medley in unison. The fact that it happened over and over again over the course of Alexis's time on that couch in the entirety of the season is fucking nuts. I don't think production would have done this to anybody else but my sweet, sweet broken bird. What Shannon has experienced, she is, listen, she's complicated. She's got stuff. I love her. She's my queen, my angel, my everything. What Shannon has survived and come out stronger than ever. I can't even imagine Googling the like, as a guy from wherever is ago. Like when we break up, you're dead to me. It's over. We didn't start as friends. I wish you well. I will never think of you again, or I will never communicate that to you that I'm ever thinking of you ever again. That's just my process. It's not a good one, but it is just one. I move on. I don't need to keep a relationship, but that's also because, much like Shannon, I have a terrible picker. So you wouldn't want to have that person in your life. They're terrible. You just date them and give them your time. And then at some point, you know, they fuck up so much that you're like, well, I guess you've given me no other options. But I don't stay in touch. The fact that Shannon hasn't gotten a second to breathe or mourn her relationship of several years, and the fact that this man is aggressively staying in her life professionally and personally, legally now, is wild. The fact that Alexis joined the show and was given the opportunities that she was given and afforded to harass Shannon, and that being a big part of the plot, is tough because you could see Shannon literally breaking down. It was borderline unconscionable and also one of the best seasons of Housewives. I'm not saying it was okay. I will fight to the death for Shannon. I have before. Arguably, I will absolutely again, but it was a wild season. And the thing that it doesn't make any of it okay, and she was getting it from Alexis and from Tamra. Give her one, but not both. And fucking, and I don't mean that as a verb, just fucking John just won't get out of her grill. He is obsessed with her. John Jansen is, and this is my opinion, is obsessed with Shannon Bedore. And so is Alexis. This is their only thing. This is how you two came together. You took a dumb photo at The Quiet Woman. It went viral and you fell in love with the attention and then this new person that you met. And you got engaged after 9 months. I felt very seen as a former Nine Lemon conspiracy theorist who recorded talking about my conversation with the hotel where their proposal took place about whether or not those lemons had been preset by Alexis. Spoiler alert, they weren't. It was a part of the, unless you feel like they were, but I do not think that they were. It was just a wild accident. Although John would have been very aware of the Nine Lemons in a Bowl history since he is obviously a Bravo-holic. So I don't know what to say about that. It was just a coincidence. Genuinely, it was just a coincidence. But it did make me laugh that the conspiracy theory made it to television. But anyway, circling back to Alexis, I don't know. What do you do with a problem like Alexis Bellino? None of their behaviors make sense. So I would assume that they do not intend to return and maybe will focus their energies on the thriving industry of podcasts. She says, laughing, I don't know what their next steps will be. And I guess the fun of it is they've never made sense. But as Heather Dubrow said, I hope loudly for Alexis Bellino, because you know they watched this episode more than I did. And that's saying something. John likes staying in the picture. They met each other at the Quiet Woman. Quiet Woman took a photo, fell in love with the attention and then each other, and then, you know, decided that the real truth in the matter that needed to be seen was that John Jansen is the perfect man, as he has shown us over and over again. The thing that was so funny to me, I don't know if it was in a flashback or one of the one of their confessional moments that looked absolutely ridiculous, or another moment where Alexis is like, I know. Oh, she's, it was the flashback to Alexis talking about whether or not she could survive London with being there with Shannon Bedore. And she says, I know how to do that because of the Bible, and turning the other cheek. When have we seen Alexis once turn the other cheek? She's claiming to have that the higher road doesn't exist. It's the road to justice is the one that she needs to take. But when have we ever seen that other part of her? The idea that, like, Shannon, you're coming to Shannon's place of work. This is Shannon's job. You are not the same, I guess I would argue, skill set, but also not the same in terms of seniority. This is the trap Jill Zarin fell in when they were doing Peacock negotiations, and she wanted favored nations and to have everyone on the OG legacy cast be paid the same amount, which I understand. But also, you started the franchise, huge, very important. We appreciate your service and full respect. But also, if some of these people were on for several more seasons than you have been, a person could argue that their value is seen differently by the network than everyone getting paid the same amount. And because history matters, both who started the franchise, but also who has been on the longest. Alexis coming to this as a TV star, as we've heard, and saying that she's been on television for 15 years is really funny when you think about the fact that her current argument is, I had no idea how television works. And if we had only seen, can you imagine? Oh, God, the money I would pay for this, money I don't have that I would pay for this, a completely uncensored full loop, like what they have with Big Brother, where you can like sign up to watch people sleep or whatever, which, I mean, if I was a Big Brother viewer, I would 100% be all in. If we had access to like the full tapes, we never got the Trump tapes. Could we get the Orange County reunion tapes? Like, this isn't Access Hollywood, but like, can we please get the 11 or 10 or 9 or 8 or 7 hours full? I would sit down with that like a scientist, because this reunion cycle is my periodic table of elements. Give me the hydrogen, give me the whatever. I've seen Oppenheimer. I know how it works. Just let me see, twice, by the way, once on a plane. Let me see the full tapes, because I actually am curious. Alexis Bellino, open invitation. Whenever you want to come on Andy Scrolls, God help us if you're listening to this. I apologize. Praying or something. Open invitation. I would argue, I would make the agreement not to edit anything and just come and chat. Like, let's understand your, what a bookend, by the way, for a season of Orange County. If I had my literal queen, Her Holiness, in the office and then was like, Alexis, are you available on Zoom for maybe 6 to 8 hours if we both start to monologue? To understand Alexis Bellino is to, I guess, not understand ourselves. And that fun equation of like, forget ever having an opinion because you've just never run into a fact. I think that's the current argument that I guess Alexis representing herself and John are attempting to make. It's just so deeply flawed. And I don't know. Like, I had some thoughts. You know, well, let's start the episode. Let's start. It's Andy Scrolls. It's episode 16-ish.
Do you like free stuff? Well, you're in luck because Buy Optimizer's Black Friday deal starts now, and they are giving away free gifts with purchase. That's right, I have an exclusive advance invite to Buy Optimizer's Black Friday deal for the entire month of November. This is their best sale of the entire year. If you're feeling stressed out or haven't been sleeping well lately, you are not alone. You might not be able to change all the chaos out there, but you can start supplementing with one key nutrient to improve your sleep quality, as well as over 600 other biochemical reactions in your body. Magnesium Breakthrough is the only product I've found that has all the magnesium forms in one convenient bottle. You'll open less bottles, spend less money, and still get the top 7 forms of magnesium for better sleep, manage stress, balance hormones, improve mood, feel refreshed, all in one bottle. You can only get this exclusive deal through my link special for AGs. Go to buyoptimizers.com/andysgirls and use code andysgirls to get your discount and free gifts today. And one last thing you should all know, all Buy Optimizer supplements are best in class. If for some reason you feel differently, you can get a full refund up to 1 year after your purchase, no questions asked. Again, the link to go right now for the exclusive code is buyoptimizers.com/andysgirls using code andysgirls.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
I had some thoughts about what Alexis was saying during the episode. Let's get to them. Number one, Alexis calling Shannon bitter. Ma'am, where do you get, what's the difference between bitter and aware? What's the difference between bitter and responsive, bitter and awake? What I think Shannon, and also, what does bitter even mean? Are you saying that Shannon is bitter because John broke up with her? Are you saying, God forbid, Shannon's bitter because John maybe mistreated each other and John mistreated her, they mistreated each other. They were in a very toxic relationship and Shannon is recognizing that finally, although I would argue she's still honestly sort of protecting him at points, because that flashback to the previous reunion where I think Heather or somebody is like, yeah, and he used to fat shame you and all this other stuff. And Shannon's like, no, he didn't. He would wake me up in the morning and say, you are so beautiful. I can't believe how beautiful you are. Both can be true. He is a piece of shit. I feel like Alexis is trying to argue that Shannon is jealous of her. And I don't think that, I don't see that even a little bit. That might be a surprise. But yeah, I don't think in watching the reunion cycle and Shannon over the course of the season, I don't think that Shannon misses John in the way that Alexis would like us to believe that she does. I also feel like Alexis bringing up the 380 or whatever it was, plus the 75, she thinks that means that John contributing financially to their relationship shows that he is a good man, but it doesn't invalidate Shannon's experience. Like, Shannon can have her perspective of their relationship. I think John actually probably has a similar one in terms of, like, this was not a good relationship, and that's one of the reasons we're no longer together. So I don't understand invalidating Shannon's upset about how she was treated by John, but then saying John speaks the literal gospel, in saying he was not treated poorly by Shannon. I don't think these people worked together. Like, big breaking news. I don't think Shannon and John worked. That was the whole confusion, concern, upset tension for Shannon the length of the time she was dating John, because she was telling her cast members things about what was happening in her relationship that she was then denying on camera. Part of that could be because she wasn't remembering, because what she was doing consistently, according to her cast members, was turtle timing and then calling people and then forgetting what she said and then getting upset. But I don't think you can argue Shannon doesn't remember how John treated her. She just doesn't remember what she told the cast. So the idea that she is bitter or jealous or whatever, when also a huge part of her job, which obviously Alexis understands because she is a television star, 15 years of experience. And what an experience that was. Alexis would understand that a part of Shannon's job is like communicating how she feels, speaking out loud. I don't understand why Alexis and John don't believe that Shannon has the right to continue her work, unless John would like to underwrite that, because I guess he's one big bag of cash. I don't know entirely why they don't understand that, especially when Alexis is arguing that she understands it the most. But also, if he's suing her, Shannon is allowed to talk about him. Shannon is allowed and arguably required to communicate aspects of her life, unless her lawyers are advising her otherwise, to communicate aspects of her life while it's happening. That's the whole LOL of him filing, which his argument, according to his mouthpiece, is because of the statute of limitations that he needed to file at that point. But also, there's a consequence for that. If you're filing a lawsuit against your reality TV star ex-girlfriend right before or right as filming has started, she's going to have a response to that at her place of work. Like, she's in the employee break room right now. She's doing the thing on camera and off camera that any other person, I think, would. But of course, she's not any other person. She is, in fact, Shannon Bedore. Also, Alexis chose to date Shannon Bedore's. She chose the wonderful sloppy seconds. It's not Shannon's job to clean up John's mess or the experience John and Shannon had together on reality TV when John signed away his life and signed the permission slip to film. It's not Shannon's job to go back in time, back to the future style, and somehow erase from our minds with that Men in Black, that like silver pen thing, and erase from our memory any kind of question, chaos, or confusion about John Jansen. Shannon's not responsible for the entirety of the World Wide Web. She is, in fact, not Al Gore. And it is an inconvenient truth to Alexis, for Alexis, that Shannon is not responsible for any bad thing that has ever been said about John. I would argue John is. John decided to date this woman. John decided to sign away his private life and become a public figure in dating her and agreeing to be filmed. Whatever Shannon said about him during filming, whatever Shannon said about him after they broke up, questions about from cast members, audience reaction, John agreed to that. He's just now arguing he didn't understand the ramifications, which is strange because his fiance is a lawyer, as we've heard, because she got a bachelor's degree in something at Somewheresville online. So I don't really totally get, I mean, like genuinely understatement of the year. I don't totally get some of Alexis's arguments here. I don't think they entirely track.
Yay.
And throughout all of this, Tamara being quiet and mumbling is something that Shannon, you know, thanks her for, because the bar is below the floor. I hope that Shannon appreciates Emily's strong, energetic defense. And I would also note some of that is coming because Emily is genuinely disgusted with Alexis. And some of that is coming because Emily is genuinely disgusted with Alexis and they're no longer friends. So I really appreciate what Emily did this period. I thought a lot of it was genuinely funny. Trash can finally found its lid. Iconic moment. The fact that we connect that to her seeing trash cans outside of the outside of the studio. It's like watching Claude Monet paint a water lily. Like we're seeing the magic happen. She sees trash cans. Then we see the delivery of the line. Like it's truly inside the actor's studio. And I love that for us. And also I'm just acknowledging, not taking away from it, but I'm just acknowledging like some of this is because like Alexis and Emily like no longer fuck with each other. So yes, a big part of it is because Emily is disgusted with Alexis. And a big part of the reason they no longer fuck with each other is because Emily is disgusted with Alexis. But also it's because Emily genuinely hates this woman. So I think it's probably like 80-20. 80 of this has to do with Shan. I actually think that's sort of generous. And maybe 20 of it is because of Emily and Alexis' stuff with each other. But it doesn't matter because it adds up to 100%. That's how math works. And I know that Alexis was a math major because she's calculated something once at some point in time. I guess John's bills is what they do at night. How depressing is that? So the forensic accounting thing I thought was interesting. I don't know why Alexis saying like we needed to do forensic accounting. You didn't. You chose to. Poor dumb Alexis. I did say out loud while watching the episode again today, like I actually genuinely do think she's the dumbest woman in America. Like I said that out loud and I don't even mean it to be insulting. I'm just watching what is happening. Like the fact that she's saying we were required by the government to do forensic accounting. No, she didn't actually say that, but she did say we had to do forensic accounting. But Shannon isn't suing you back. You didn't need to do that. You wanted to do that because you thought it would release some greater truth, but no one ordered you to. You are a grown adult breaking news at 11. And she was a former newsreader, so she should know this. News 11 or 6 or 5. Again, speaking of John, you are aware that you are making choices. Shannon isn't requiring them of you, nor is the law. And again, if you had listened to Emily, some of this might track. Also, I'm going to need to see in the forensic accounting that's coming to Instagram or a podcast any day now where they just read things and do math. What an episode. I think there's probably episodes of Andy's Girls that are probably comparable. Who are we getting? I'm going to need to see a photo of that $10,000 necklace because I actually think it's possible it exists, but boy, does it look like shit. Because Shannon's reaction to that, who among us has not gotten a bad gift from a former beau? So if he's so dumb that he shat away $10,000 on something that looks stupid is just more of a joke against John. Maybe he's not great with money. I don't know. Also, this is a two-part episode, but we're making it into one. Also, John Jansen. One of the biggest shocks of several shocks presented to us by his publicist, John Jansen saying, I was single for a year before we met. And Alexis pushing that so fucking hard while also saying nothing matters after 11/18, which I assume is the day that they met, a day that will live on in infamy for forever, for the rest of our lives, for the rest of the period of time in which this current country exists, to say nothing matters after 11/18, but it really truly matters that we know that you guys were just fuck buddies and nothing more. Alexis's entire focus is on everything that happened before 11/18. So to say now that nothing matters after is wild. That is a wild thing to say out loud and also believe. And then we have the point where Emily says to Tamara, how are you friends with this woman? Tamara's response, she has a big heart. I actually understand Tamara's perspective because she's not used to ever being accountable for being a terrible person, let alone friend. So surely, why would she hold Alexis to a higher level of accountability or reality than she holds herself or than she wants other people to hold her? And also, speaking of more terrible things that John and Alexis did, the text messages, because they actually, I don't think Alexis understands, nor could she, because it doesn't fit her victim narrative. But like, they got so much past the edit, through production to our televisions and computer/iPhone screens. The fact that we have text messages, emails, whatever else between John and Shannon that wasn't shared by Shannon, I don't know that Alexis could ever have the capacity to recognize that, like, they got a lot more than they should have and maybe than they deserve. So to see these text messages that they think is proving this greater point, the point that I'm seeing in like one of those text messages is Shannon really upset because this man she's still fucking, who loaned her money, is asking for a 10% interest added on. So her response is like, John, this isn't a business dealing. You loaned me money. Certainly, surely Shannon wasn't aware he was going to sue her to get it back. And I do believe her when she says the fact that he never asked her for the money after they broke up, I don't think she thought she needed to repay it. And she wasn't going to make the first step to be like, I'm going to write you a check. Alexis saying, well, no, since the second they broke up, John and Shannon have had their lawyers in negotiation, is in direct conflict with what Shannon is saying, which is, I had no idea that there was going to be any kind of legal dealing between us until people published that headline, because John had his pal at People Inc. post a statement from him and legal documents before Shannon was aware she was being sued. Shannon found out, from my memory, which could be wrong, that she was being sued by John because People magazine published an exclusive, which he did over and over again. He also did it when they broke up. John had an exclusive statement to People that he was breaking up with his girlfriend. It was really fucking weird when it originally happened in, I guess, November of 2022. It was a very strange decision for a man who requires a life that is private, for him to be so public so much well before he ever ran into Alexis Bellino. His behavior has stayed consistent. Poor sweet Alexis will never understand that. Unfortunately, she probably will one day, but we might not be around to watch it. It likely won't be on television. But this man has been relatively consistent for being a piece of shit for a while. So the fact that he sent a promissory note after the fact, I err on whatever Emily was saying about that. The fact that he was adding on 10% is gross to me. It's like, sir, just ask for your money back. But the fact that he waited from the time that they broke up and this loan, whatever financial stuff was exchanged, cash, check, whatever, to waiting until a moment in which he shared that information with a media outlet is so fucking weird. And also, let us not forget that the reason we know that some of that money, not all of it, but some of it was spent on plastic surgery is because this gross, decrepit crypt keeper of a man shared that with the press. Do you understand how gross and trashy a decision like that was? He wanted to embarrass the shit out of her. And I'm not saying this should happen, but I think a person could make an argument that what Alexis has done and what John has done in referencing the videos and absolutely using them as a threat is defamatory. That's the thing that Alexis still doesn't understand. There's so much she doesn't get, but that's a big fucking thing that Alexis doesn't understand. Alexis also doesn't understand that when you sign a legal document, you can be sued if you break the terms of the contract. But if someone signs a legal document, a non-disparagement agreement, what they are saying is that they will not disparage this person. If he didn't want Shannon to disparage him I'm guessing his genius lawyer would have counseled him to sign the agreement. But the problem with signing the agreement is then he can't disparage his ex. It's like there are breadcrumbs here, and it's so strange because everyone else can see them, but Alexis and I guess John, my argument is I think John can see them, but he really met his match in every sense of the word. Everyone on those couches, Andrew, production, catering, anyone walking around outside the studio, the past, present, and future of Earth life can understand that signing a non-disparagement requires a person not to disparage. And if Shannon breaks that, yes, John could potentially sue her. Alexis's counter to that is like, why would he want to sue her twice? Yeah, sweetie, that's the point. That's the point. That's the point, Luann. Like that's why we're here, is because we're saying he shouldn't have sued her the first time and they could have settled, but he didn't want to do that because he didn't want his voice to be quieted because he likes this so much more than what you are willing to understand. Wow. There's a lot. Alexis, who started part three by saying, I've been on reality television for 15 years, not straight, but like 15 years, however many times, over 15 years, I think she said 15, five television shows, then saying, well, I didn't mean anything by referencing the videos. So if it looked like I was using it to extort or to blackmail, in fact, what happened was I didn't mean to mention the videos several times. I was just talking to my friends, you know, the cast members I have on this reality television production. And I've been on TV many times before, but I'm a method actor. I forget the cameras are there. Except to be a method actor, I would think would require her to play the part of a reality television performer, which would be to recognize that she's actually on reality television when in fact she's being filmed. Ooh, truly, it's inception. I don't even know how to understand. I don't know. It was a wild episode. If you've only seen it, God forbid, 6 to 18 times, throw that number 19 on. It's the holidays. You know, be thankful. It was one of the most fascinating seasons I have experienced in recent memory. I couldn't get enough of it. If you think the Orange County episodes are going to stop now, no. Now we just start playing pretend. Now it's like, get out the playhouse. I'm going to find 9 plastic lemons in a bowl, which arguably I should have regardless. And yes, you better believe that when Shannon came to the office to record, I had 9 lemons with the tags removed, mind you, from a grocery store in my neighborhood in a bowl. And that bowl was a Young Alum Award that I got from my alma mater, Marymount Manhattan College. Just reminding everyone how young I, in fact, am. Heather Gay and I, spiritually mid-20s plus, which was, as we now understand, a law degree. That glass bowl is a law degree holding in 9 other graduate programs represented by each of those lemons. And whether or not they arranged 9 lemons in a bowl for their sad, depressing, pathetic, wildly chaotic, unfortunate, maddening, funny, it's when you think of them, it's a laugh. I appreciate them. I appreciate what they've done for us, the gifts they have given to us by revealing themselves so beautifully, effortlessly, and consistently over the course of this reunion on and off Bravo TV, certainly also online. I don't even know what I was saying. Welcome to Andy's Girls. What what Alexis has shown to us, it's really unfortunate, but it's also so funny. And I would like to thank her for her time. I don't know if she'll be back. I don't know how John will be able to stay off the show. So maybe that's where the podcast, if it even is a podcast, maybe that's where we'll get that magic, is they're like, we'll create our own studio. You know, they're their own Scientology Celebrity Center. Scientology has its own
movie studio, film studio. So like maybe they're going to call up Becky Minkoff, ask her for some thoughts. Like maybe they'll have their own thing now. They get to control their voices. So maybe that will be a substitute for Alexis coming back. I really do not think she enjoyed being on the show. I would bet that John wants to be on Housewives and on TV more than Alexis does at this point. I actually do believe her that she is defeated. And it's unfortunate. It's really genuinely unfortunate because so much of it came as a direct consequence of her own decisions. And I'm not going to infantilize her. I'm not going to say that she didn't have an active role in how she ended up being perceived. That's the worst possible case for Alexis and John, is like being held in any way accountable for their decisions. They chose to make this so much worse every single time. They'll never get that. They're just going more and more in because, spoiler alert, going off of what John wanted Shannon to do when they were together, he doesn't have great instincts for how he is going to be received. He's just proving that with a different person who also happens to be a television personality. So I'm going to continue talking about Orange County. I don't know how. I'm going to sneak it in. Maybe instead of continuing New York, which I will continue to watch begrudgingly and might come up now and again, I just act out. Maybe the way of getting through it is to like get 9 more lemons in a bowl and draw faces on them and do some sort of like playtime featuring the cast of whatever franchise I'm not currently fucking with. That doesn't feel like a great idea, which is weird because I'm not dating John. But we'll see. We'll see where we land. I'm going to end this episode by saying it is a to be continued. And I am glad I gave myself a couple extra days to cook because I was not in a great headspace during the time in which I would have been recording this solo dive. So the fact that I really genuinely, I mean, I washed that man out of my hair by washing my hair this morning and then allowing him to stay in my hair while recording this brief mini 2-minute episode. And now he's washed out again until I talk about John Jansen more at any time. It's going to be like a fire drill, but I'm just going to yell John and then everybody jumps under a table and hides. Although that's actually not what you're supposed to do during a fire drill. That's what you're supposed to do if you live in the 1950s and someone's yelling earthquake or whatever. Reminds me, I actually probably should watch Oppenheimer again. So I would run out the door. Because my apartment building is not one of the new buildings where they recommend that you stay inside. I would haul ass several blocks away. But I would do that with my mic while recording and talking more about John. So let's see if this journey continues. Maybe I'll be able to extract a couple more AG classics out of it. And then maybe I just watch the season again. It's interesting because it was such a impactful season for me. But like, is it rewatchable? It was so intense. It was so sad at so many points. But also, I'll just never forget. I just want to say a thank you to our nation, to our globe. As a Shan stan, it's going to be really hard for me to let go. The support that I have felt, the people who have, had passports to visit, possibly temporarily, Shan Nation. Unlike going to Paris, I'm not going to put a limit on how much time you have to visit. You can stay here as long as you'd like. You are always welcome. And don't forget us next season when probably many of you just realistically drop off. That's okay. We will always have this time together to cherish. And I will never forget it. I just want to thank people for maybe seeing a different side to Shan, or being maybe forced into standing with Shan because standing for Shan temporarily or whatever, temp to perm, because Alexis and John were truly that dreadful. I'm not gonna give them the credit. I'm gonna give you the credit for normalizing, maybe changing your name based on new information, or just having a moment of like, you know what? It doesn't mean that she isn't X, Y, and Z. She's just really complicated. And she, I think, in my humble opinion, deserved our support during this time. And Shannon Bedore, you are welcome in the Clawfist anytime. I hope it happens again. That's going to be my way of making it through this thing called life, is just thinking, you know, one day she might come back. One day I'll see her again. And that's really truly what I'm going to hold dear. So thanks to listening. Thanks to all of you for listening to this very calm, in no way chaotic recap or whatever for a non-recap podcast. Just a little deep dive. Just a couple thoughts I had to share. I don't know. Maybe I watched it and I was like, huh, I guess I can mention one thing or another. 18 hours later, you can follow me on Instagram at Dame Galley. Slide into my DMs with your satchels of gold, your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns. Named in honor of Her Holiness Kelly Cloran Ben-Simone. Are you a temp to perm Shan convert? A new temporary, possibly permanent. That's how temp to perm works. Alexis knows that because she went to college. Apparently, that's the barometer here. Did you have some thoughts about this season of Orange County? You know I want to talk about it for the rest of my life. So please join me at the AG Patreon where I will continue to discuss. Let me know your thoughts and feels. Please include your first name and town, and they may be featured in that long-awaited upcoming episode of the AG Patreon, Satchel Spectacular. And you can sign up and listen to those exclusive bonus episodes. Number one way to support the pod at patreon.com/andysgirls. Follow me on Instagram at Galley, and thanks so much for being a part of the journey. I know that technically, allegedly, we have four franchises left, and in the spirit of the holiday season, I am counting New York as a full franchise. The nicest thing I have done today, nicest and possibly only thing I have done today, aside from obviously this historic journey that we just took in this audio podcast. Does that mean that Alexis is a colleague? If she starts her pod, which is entirely possible, she will not. This isn't like a thing. She's even just the fact that she used voice a couple times means either she's joining NBC's The Voice. And we know she deserves to have a seat judging next to like Christina Aguilera or whatever, because she went to college. So that is an important skill set. You know, when you're in a variety of different industries, it just makes you incredibly qualified to be an expert in all matters. And I'm going to carry that arrogance with me into the rest of this weekend. And how to end this episode, thinking about what Heather Dubrow said during the reunion, immediately forgotten by Alexis Bellino, that Johnny J at the end of the day is in fact focused on fame. But I don't want to end the episode thinking about John. So let's think about what Shannon posted on Instagram. The inspiration, of course, for Alexis Bellino's LSAT IG grid response. Shannon posted a photo of a wire transfer receipt to her IG, highlighting the amount paid to John Jansen, $60,000. We love a promo code. The purpose of the funds being described as John Jansen settlement in full. She added, enjoy, and tagged John and Alexis Bellino in her post. And I have to tell you, when it comes to moving away from John Jansen, hopefully forever, until his forthcoming God Forbid podcast, for Shannon to reclaim who she is on Bravo TV and off, $60,000 is priceless.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.